B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, May 8th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, on this week's social media question, we ask you which boss you feel is more difficult than the final boss. We'll read some of your answers and share our own ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with, say it with me now,
loot boxes.
This week may mark one of the biggest moments in gaming history. And no, that is not hyperbole. A U.S. senator this week introduced a bill that would ban certain microtransactions from games played by minors. Joining me to help break down this immensely important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. And yeah, guys, Pandora's box is officially open.
Yeah, it seems like, it actually seems like they're trying to close it.
It's open. And it's not closing again. So yeah. Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri, has introduced legislation into Congress that will ban the sale of loot boxes and pay-to-win microtransactions in games that minors play. Okay, so first of all, this is a freshman Republican senator from Missouri.
39 years old.
So someone who has grown up with video games.
Should have context.
He should have context for video games.
Absolutely.
And where you notice that context comes into play is specifically the phrase pay-to-win microtransactions.
Yes, he didn't say microtransactions. He specifically outlines pay-to-win.
Pay-to-win microtransactions. So whether it's him or whoever's helping him co-author the bill, they have a context and are making a distinction from certain cosmetic microtransactions that have no effect on gameplay and pay-to-win mechanics. However, by throwing on the blanket term of loot boxes, this still can mean something very interesting for the likes of Blizzard.
Oh, we're seeing
EA,
this is going to be an industry shifting decision, mm-hmm. either way you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen movements towards this. We've seen the FTC begin to get involved. We've seen Senator Maggie Hassan,
yes,
who made some overtures about looking into loot boxes and microtransactions. But this is a bill, and by the way, maybe one of the most, I don't even know what the word, it's brilliant, but also a little slimy, the name of this bill, the Protecting Children from Abusive Games Act.
No one's saying no to that.
Yeah, exactly. No one, first of all, wants to vote no on that
and
bill.
And that's the brilliant part about what's been put forth here, because we've talked about how the climate is in Congress and in, you know, our political system right now, where you have a Republican that's putting forward something that essentially is a tech bill, or Senator is known to be sort of, I don't want to say anti-tech, but a tech critic previously. But first of all, you're right. Nobody's going to say no to that. But his opponents on the left will also look at this as a way for government oversight to get invited into the tech and entertainment industry. And it's been a headway that they have not been able to make in the past 20 years.
Right. Typically, the right is very anti-government oversight. But if a Republican senator is the one pushing this forward.
Well, and the reason, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you can put kids in front of it, then mm-hmm. that becomes very much, you know, in line with the platform.
And a political win.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's a lot of discussion happening about this at the moment, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of people who are really concerned about this. There's been no shortage of people who are applauding the fact that the American government is getting involved with something that we've all known has been a predatory practice for a long time. But I don't think that these same people who are applauding the government getting involved really understand how far reaching these consequences could be.
And that's what's really important to it, because like you, I'm seeing a lot of people who are very much in support of this, but it's not a...
It doesn't stop here.
Well, no, it's not that they're like, oh, I'm so happy the government's getting involved. It's more of a, hey, you jerks didn't do anything about it. Now, this is what you get.
Well, yeah, and there is, you know what, there is a bit of that because, you know, the ESA and the ESRB by extension have had multiple opportunities to get involved and to start regulating this, and they have sat on their hands. We've called them out on that on this very program for the behavior, but this is the ultimate consequence of a regulatory body failing to regulate.
I mean, and we talk about the margin so much when it comes especially to mobile games and other games like Fortnite that have the sort of free-to-play or freemium business models, and when you see just how much money is being made by these games, it's hard for the red flag not to have been thrown up before now. But when you couldn't necessarily prove the predatory nature, nobody had tried hard enough to prove the predatory nature of it. And I think now, as people are starting to think of stuff like digital well-being and screen time, and you know what exactly, you know, our phones basically being our credit cards as well. I mean, that point where you have parents getting involved and understanding the nature of how all-encompassing the technology is, that's when you really started seeing more attention being paid to this. And I do think that this is Pandora's box being opened here.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1 and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. We're currently talking about the bill that has been introduced into what is this, the Senate or the House?
The Senate.
This is the Senate.
This is the Senate, called the Protecting Children from Abusive Games Act.
Yeah, it specifically cites Blizzard Activision's Candy Crush as an egregious example of pay-to-win mechanics. They said, quote, "When a game is designed for kids, game developers shouldn't be allowed to monetize addiction. And when kids play games designed for adults, they should be walled off from compulsive microtransactions. Game developers who knowingly exploit children should face legal consequence."
Okay, this I'm having trouble getting behind.
Because the language here,
right? Because listen, I understand games aimed at kids should probably not have predatory microtransactions.
No one's going to argue with that.
I think I can get behind that statement.
I agree.
But when a kid plays a game designed for adults, that there should be additional protections built in, that I don't know. I mean, maybe some very basic, like, put in your password again.
Or security question.
Yeah, having to put in, you know, the last three digits of your whatever on your credit card. Yeah, like asking you to verify information.
But those type of things do already exist.
They do, but we also know that there's a lot of microtransaction systems that once you put in your payment information, it saves it, and now it's a one-click purchase.
That's true.
And I think putting more protections in there, or putting more steps to, you know, between the purchase and the user,
even if it's just, hey, you have to do the fingerprint read on your phone or whatever it happens to be.
Exactly. Like, that may be a way forward here, and I don't think that's maybe the worst suggestion to kind of curb the problem.
So the ESA responded with a release stating numerous countries, including Ireland, Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom determined that loot boxes do not constitute gambling. We look forward to sharing with the Senator the tools and information the industry already provides that keeps the control of in-game spending in parents' hands. Parents already have the ability to limit or prohibit in-game purchases with easy-to-use controls. But here's the problem with that, is this bill is very cleverly worded. It doesn't allege that it's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going that route. They're saying it's predatory, exploitive measures.
Exactly.
Because all they would have to do then is disclose the odds. It's a different thing.
That's a totally different legal classification from saying, listen, we don't want gambling to get to children. There's already laws that prevent that.
Yeah.
This is going the additional step and saying inherently these things, these practices are predatory.
And the thing is that all, you know, a legislator is going to have to come up with and say is that these practices have already been banned in certain countries. Belgium is one of them. And they will look at that framework and say, okay, this is what we don't want it. This is what we don't want it to get to. That's all the ESA would have had to say. Excuse me, is that we didn't want to get our games and our practices banned out. But instead of going then to Congress or to the government and saying, look, this is what we're already doing, guys.
Yeah,
we're already getting a handle on it. There's no need for you to get involved.
Right.
That would have been the more intelligent play. But instead, they chose hubris and they said, you know what, we may have a few more years of making billions of dollars, so let's
That's
do what it.
That's really, I think, what it was it was the greed bottom line. And I think, you know what, you're right. Like, they could have got out ahead of this, but has the boat completely passed for the ESA or the ESRB to come to the table and be a part of the conversation?
If it hasn't left, it's getting, it's pulling out of port. Like, if this passes the Senate, I do believe it'll pass the House.
Yeah.
So if they're going to get their lobbyists on now, they better hurry and they better be willing to come to the table and say, listen, we get it. You guys don't need to do this. We will handle it. Clearly, we were in the wrong. This might be the very last chance, because if this passes, that's it.
No, even if they come to the table now, the government, I think, is still going to want to help them dictate what is changing.
Yeah, they're involved now.
You're right. No, they've lost their ability to say, we're going to decide how this goes. The government has said, okay, we have a seat at the table now.
Yep.
That is the way it is.
How likely is it that this doesn't end up touching content at some point?
I think even if it's not this bill, another bill will come, and eventually it will happen. Now, whether it'll be as widespread as we think it'll be, who knows?
The door's been kicked open, clearly. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. How problematic do you think this is going to be? Is this going to change the way that games are made? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to share your responses to this week's social media question. This week, we ask you, what boss is more difficult than the final boss of the game? Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we ask you, what boss is more difficult than the final boss of the game? And I actually kind of struggled to find an answer to this.
This is a hard question.
Right.
You know what? Here's what I found with this question is it's hard to get your first one, and then as soon as you get one, you start getting more.
Yep.
That's fair. I also kind of felt like From Software games were cheating at this, right? Like, specifically,
every boss is hard.
Every boss is hard,
and
but
every final boss is kind of disappointingly easy.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does seem to be the way of it. Like, someone said Father Gassion from Bloodborne,
sure,
which is a great answer.
Or like the dancer in
Boreal Valley.
Dark Souls 3, of course.
See, the way that I went about it was I actually tried to think of what were easy end bosses and then look back through that game.
And clever strategy. Well, Robbie, what did you come up with?
So, playing through Mass Effect right now on Insanity, there's a lot of dying all over the place,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
And I'm actually going to say the entire game, because the final boss can be killed by pressing a single button.
That's true.
If your Renegade and Paragon points are high enough, you convince him that he's corrupted and he just kills himself.
I mean, that's kind of it's either Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross, where you just play the sequence for like some kind of like musical instrument and then it's done.
I think that's Chrono Trigger.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can really take take the entirety of Chrono Trigger as an answer, but I actually think that there was a boss in Chrono Cross that had me stuck for the better part of like 5 years. Like, I put that game down for like a long time.
This is like in the main storyline, not a side boss?
Yeah, no, this is definitely in the main storyline. It's whatever, I forget whatever destroyed world you have to go to, and it's like this like dude with tank treads, and I don't remember the specific boss.
The point is that everyone who hears that goes, oh, that guy.
No, see, like, anyone that I tell that to is like, you struggled on that?
Aww. See, I feel like RPGs are weird for me, because when you come to a boss you can't beat, you just go and grind a little bit, and you go back and steamroll over them.
Yeah, but everybody done had that experience. I know a lot of people who get stuck on RPG bosses, and they just never go.
Yeah, they just put down the game and never come back. Norris, what about you?
I had to go all the way back in the day to the SNES days, where the second boss in Jabba's Palace on Return of the Jedi.
Super Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, Super Return of the Jedi, where you had to fight the Twi'lek guy in Jabba's Palace, and I could never beat that guy for some reason.
Ever? You've never beat him?
Oh, no, I have now.
Oh, okay.
But he was harder than the final boss.
I'm like, way still harder. To this day, you're White Whale.
Oh, no.
So, I actually made a list of 7 of these, and you can check it out over at our website at checkpointxp.com, but in the spirit of the segment, I'm going to give you one that was not on that list. I'm going to say Dark Link in Ocarina of Time in the Water Temple. He wasn't even the final boss of the temple.
He was the midway boss of the temple.
True. I thought Dark Link was way harder than Ganon ever was.
I'm pretty sure there's a way to cheese him, though.
There was a way to cheese like the original Dark Link from Zelda 2, if
well,
I recall.
Actually, that. I found...
growing up, I didn't know what it was.
Fair.
So.
No,
fair.
But I actually found a Forest Temple Spirit Ganondorf to be harder than the Ganon that you
the
fight.
Forest
yep.
Temple
in
one,
the
I
tower.
Agree. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
I will second that.
Even the boss of the two witch sisters in the Spirit Temple, I didn't think was that easy. Mm. But yeah, no, there's a lot of bosses in Ocarina of Time I think were harder than Ganon.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 FM and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai 1140, all the way up in Alaska. We got to get responses from those that are following us over on social media, but before that, we got to check in with Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic. What boss did you struggle with more than you struggled with the final boss?
Absolutely. Undyne, Genocide Mode, and Undertale. I would say that the final
Undyne
boss...
Undyne the Undying.
She was not dying, let me tell you. The Sans was the final boss, was, I think, took more hours, but like I could see like the light at the end of the tunnel with him early on.
Right, because Sans was just learning one mechanic after another until eventually you could do the dance.
And the hard part
Undyne
was
chaos.
Undyne, you didn't know... It was luck, practically.
Yeah,
at one point,
her,
knowing what to
mechanically,
do.
her thing was a lot harder, I
and
agree.
And I changed my like equipment so many times to figure out how to beat her.
All right, let's take a look at the responses we were getting in over at our social media pages.
Over on Facebook, we have Laszlo, who says, the Boost Guardian from Metroid Prime 2. I'll take Ozma, Emerald, and Ruby weapons at the same time and step it any day.
Yikes, that sounds nasty.
Okay, fair enough.
Dang.
I never played through the Metroid Prime series.
Really? Yeah, me. I haven't either.
We have Keith Slawinski, who says Alma from Ninja Gaiden on Pro. Then again, I'm playing Sekiro at the moment, so that might change soon.
Yes, it will.
I mean, Ninja Gaiden is infamously hard, though.
It is, so. But it still will change.
Yeah, that's true. From Software does a very good job at that.
We have Andrew, who says, from Resident Evil Code Veronica against the Tyrant. I didn't have enough grenade rounds in the cargo plane, and since I didn't manage my saves wisely, I had to start over from the beginning.
No, that happened to me. Until I heard it out loud, I'd forgotten about it. But yes, in Code Veronica, I think it was Code Veronica X, you fight Tyrant on the plane, and there's like once you started the fight, if you don't have another save file, you have what you have. I was down to like one grenade and my knife, and I literally had to start the game over because I could not beat him.
Did you not try getting good, Joe?
I tried getting good for a long time because I didn't want to restart the game. But eventually I was I can't do it.
That's always a tough pill to swallow when you are...
The hard-to-swallow pill meme?
I mean, you're just never getting past this boss. Like, that's the answer.
It's literally the pill says, over. You're not good enough to do this. Go back to the beginning. All right.
Over on Twitter, we have Virasi, who says, Sigrun from God of War 4.
Oh, my God.
Combining all the Valkyries into an endurance spell can get rough.
Dude, just one Valkyrie fight is enough to make you pull your damn hair out. Then to combine them all and have to fight, the Queen of the Valkyries, no, it sucked.
Yeah, I didn't get quite that far, but looking forward to it.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
We have Paul Bunyan, who says, Vamp from Metal Gear Solid 2. For whatever reason, it took me several tries to get past this mini-boss in both the close combat and the sniper hostage battle.
You know what? It's not
that's
the
Sons
easiest
of Liberty,
fight.
Right? Yeah. So I beat that game.
Where you fight Vamp in the pool that you can't fall into because you'll drown automatically?
Right.
I know who you're talking about, because Metal Gear Solid 2 is the only one that I've played a little bit of also. So.
I just remember the fat guy on the roller skates.
It was a really good fight. You had to actually go into first person to be able to shoot him, though, and that was kind of still a clunky mechanic for that game to figure out. So that was, I think, the biggest part of that challenge.
Over on Instagram, we have Edison, who says, probably going to be a popular answer, but Final Fantasy X Seymour on Mount Gagazet.
This is true. Mm-hmm. That is the fight that inspired me to make the list for the website.
Even when I go back and replay this, I always get all my summit or all of my overdrives ready on everybody in preparation to that fight.
Because when you run into him, that's it. You have to sit through a 5-minute cutscene before you even get to fight him. And if you lose, guess what you're watching again? Because that game didn't have any cutscene skips.
All right, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there. But make sure you follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you enjoyed this week's question, make sure you head on over to our website, CheckpointXP.com, where Joe's put together a list of bosses he feels are harder than the final boss. But that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show in esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, CheckpointXP.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.